We've got things straightened out. I hope we do. Well, I tell you what, I uncovered while I was looking for things, sayings and stuff about how America, how it should be free and the best way to be an American. And I came across a poem that was written by Langston Hughes. He's from Cleveland. He's an African American. He's a world famous. Poet, and I thought maybe I'd read this to you. I've got a few minutes, and we will read this to it and talk about it after it's okay over. This is Langston Hughes. Let America be America again. Let America be America again. Let it be the dream it used to be. Let it be the pioneer on the plain, seeking a home where he himself is free. America never was America to me. Let America be the dream and the dreamers dreamed. Let it be the great strong land of love, where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme, that any man may be crushed by one above. It never was America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath, but opportunity is real and life is free. Equality is the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I'm the poor white fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek, and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog or mighty crush the weak. I am the young man full of strength and hope, tangled in the ancient endless chain of profit, power, gain, or grab of land. Of grab the gold, of grab the ways of satisfying need, of work that the men, or take the pay, or owing everything for one's own greed. I am the farmer, bondsman to the soil. I am the worker sold to the machine. I am the Negro, servant to you all. I am the people, humble, hungry, mean. Hungry yet today, despite the dream, beaten yet today, O pioneers. I am the man who never got ahead, the poorest worker, bartered through the years. Yes, I am the one who dreamt our basic dream in the old world while still a serf of kings. Who dreamt a dream so strong, so brave, so true, that even yet it mighty daring sings in every brick and stone, in every furrow turned. That's made America the land it has become. Oh, I'm the man who sailed those early seas in search of what I meant to be my home. For I am the one who left dark Ireland's shore and Poland's plain and England's grassy lea. And torn from black Africa's strand, I came to build a homeland of the free. The free? Who said the free? Not me. Surely not me. The millions on relief today, the millions shot down where we strike, the millions who have nothing for their pay, for all the dreams we've dreamed, and all the songs we've sung, and all the hopes we've held, and all the flags we've hung, the millions who have nothing for our pay, except the dream that almost's dead today. Oh, let America be America again, and land that never had been yet. And yet we must be the land where every man is free. The land that's mine, the poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me. Who made America? Whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain, whose hand at the foundry, whose plow in the rain must bring back our mighty dream again. Sure, call me an ugly name you choose. The steel of freedom does not stain. From those who live like leeches on the people's lives, we must take back our land again, America. Oh yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me, and yet I swear this oath, America will be. Out of the rack and the ruin of our gangster death, the rape and the rot of graft and stealth and lies, we the people must redeem the land, the mines, the plants, the rivers, the mountains and the endless plain, all the stretch of these great green states, and make America again. Great poem, written by an African-American from Cleveland, Langston Hughes. He lived until 1967. He was born in 1902, so he lived through an awful lot of changes in our African-Americans' lives. And you can see in his poem, the fact that he's not sure that a lot of people really believe it, America is for him. That breaks my heart, to hear my friends, my relatives, my brothers and sisters. It breaks my heart to hear that people don't think that America is their land as well as it is my land. And I think that's kind of what Teddy Roosevelt was aiming at when he said that we had to be honest in our dealings with our brothers and sisters. He didn't use those terms, but that's kind of what he meant, that we are all brothers and sisters, and if you are going to be a good American, you have to be honest with your brothers and sisters, and you have to think about your brothers and sisters. I have brothers and sisters in Russia that I've never met. I have brothers and sisters in Australia that I've never met. We have brothers and sisters all over this world because we are of all one race, the human race. Sometimes I just don't understand why people can't see a smile on a baby's face is just as cute if it's a little black baby, a little white baby, a little yellow baby, a little red baby. Doesn't make any difference. Look at their eyes. Look at their upturned mouth. It's beautiful. And they have hope. Well, they don't know they have hope, but mom has given them hope by holding them, or dad, depending on who's holding them at the time and who's feeding them at the time. it would be very simple. It would be a simple life if we would all care about each other. We wouldn't have people dying of starvation in Africa. We wouldn't have people dying, being murdered in all the countries around the globe by greedy, well, I was going to use a bad word, so I'm going to leave it alone, greedy tyrants that rule their country. I can't understand how there isn't more pushback, I guess is the correct term, pushback against these greedy tyrants who the only thing, maybe it's just me, it just seems obvious to me that all these people care about, they don't care about you and me, they care about them. All they care about is putting more money in their pocket and more power in their group. I guess as animals, which we are, that's kind of the way of life. If we were not able to speak and didn't have opposing thumbs, and we were just normal animals like all the animals around us, we would take whatever we could so that we could keep eating, and we'd kill the weakest. We like to proclaim our civilization, but I find it really hard to find anything civilized about the way we're living right now. Greed has really seems to have taken over the world. Those of you who claim to be Christians but don't live the Christian life, don't live the life of what Jesus Christ said, read the New Testament again. You'll find that Jesus Christ never hated anyone. Or at least the Bible says he didn't. Or Bible doesn't say any place where he did hate the money changers. He hated what they were doing in the temple because they were being greedy. And that's kind of follow up on what I was saying. Greed has always been in our lives. We've been able to manage it. I wouldn't say we've been able to stop it, but we've been able to manage it in years gone by. We don't seem to be able to manage it anymore. You know, for my friends who are big Republicans, I'm going to read you a quote. We're talking about being a great American. And I think one of the prime requirements of being a great American is being a great person, much like Teddy Roosevelt said. You have to be a great person. You have to have, you have to do the right thing, be the right thing. That's kind of what Langston Hughes' poem was railing against. It really didn't rail. It was just saying that he wanted to be where his white friends were. Not that he wanted to take anything away from them. He wanted us all to be a great America. And you can't be a great America if you are running people down, if you are pushing people back, if you are holding people under the water, or recently holding them down by their neck till they die. But anyway, I'm going to read this. This is one of Ronald Reagan's famous quotes. And it kind of leans toward the side of being a great American. It says, or he said, "You can go to France to live and not be a Frenchman. You can go to Germany or Turkey and you won't become a German or a Turk. But anybody from any corner of the world can come to America to live and become an American." That's Ronald Reagan. That's a very conservative president who says you can come from any corner of the world and become an American. Now I can hear some of my friends saying, "Oh yes, but they can't do it illegally." Well, they've done it illegally since the Italians came, since the Polish came, since the Jews came, since the Irish came. I guess they've done it illegally all of our history. The first people that stepped onto the continent or onto the country of America, which wasn't America at the time, first people that stepped here came here illegally and stole the land from the people that had lived here for centuries. So step back, quit pointing the finger, and try to do right by everybody around you. If you can't see what's right, get help. There are people that know what's right and wrong. There are philosophers, ministers, teachers, people that can give you a direction. Be careful of those philosophers, ministers, and teachers who would try to lead you in a direction that will benefit them or their group. Goodness will not necessarily benefit a group or a person. It will benefit the society. And we need to be a lot more conscious of that. You can go to France and live and not become a Frenchman. You can live in Germany or Turkey and you won't become a German or a Turk. But anybody from any corner of the world can come to America to live and become an American. And we need to live by that. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. That's on our, it was written on a statue given to us by the French, who believed in us by putting that on the bottom of the statue. I don't know. When I get up on that philosophical soapbox, sometimes I get carried away, but I truly believe what I'm talking about or what I'm saying. And I hope you want to be as good as you can be, as kind as you can be, as thoughtful as you can be. And stop, all of us need to stop being just a little too lazy. All right, well, I thought we were going to go to a spot, but apparently we are not going to go to a spot. all right, this is written by a middle school young lady, and she won a South Windsor Patriotic Commission essay contest. And I thought you might like to hear this. This is being told to us by children, by a young girl. I'm guessing she wasn't more than 14 years old. She might not have even been that old. She was a middle school student. And this was a an essay that she won about being an American. The essence of America, that which really unites us, is not ethnicity or nationality or religion. It is an idea. And what an idea it is, that you can come from humble circumstances and do great things, that it doesn't matter where you came from, but where you are going. Condoleezza Rice, who was the former U.S. Secretary of State, wrote that. And that opens this young lady's essay. And here is what she wrote. "To me, being an American citizen is a great privilege, pride, and a limitless promise of liberty. America is a land of opportunity, a country of hope, equality, and freedom. However, one should not take the freedom for granted. It comes with responsibility of each one of us to defend our Constitution, democratic principles, and most importantly, protect the diversity, strength, and spirit of America. Being an American means that I have the determination, like Franklin Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln, like Dr. Martin Luther King, "I can dream of equality and of inclusion and of an inclusive nation built by men and women of all races, religions, ethnicities, and languages. It means that I can think of changing the world like Einstein, the Wright brothers, Steve Jobs, or Neil Armstrong did. It means that I beat all odds to stand tall on the Olympic podium for my nation like Wilma Rudolph and Michael Phelps did. Being American also teaches me to be empathetic to less fortunate fellow Americans and to work for uplifting of mankind. It means that I have the brave New York Fire Department firefighter in me who will put duty before self to save several 9/11 lives on one of the countless veterans who made the ultimate sacrifice for protecting our freedom. Every American should strive to live life worthy of their sacrifices. Being an American is holding the legacy of heroes and our noble traditions to celebrate our history and embrace every fellow American regardless of their background and to move forward as a stronger nation together. It is my responsibility to protect the American values and uphold the promise of our founding fathers. Being an American is my obligation to do my part and forever keep this nation the land of the free and the home of the brave." Now, that it's hard to imagine that there is a schoolgirl, a 14-year-old schoolgirl, that could think that clearly about being a good American. But she wrote that and won the essay, and it wasn't just winning the essay. She won a lot of people's hearts by the fact that she thought those are the things that would make us better Americans. Every American should strive to live life worthy of their sacrifices. And she's talking about the New York firefighters that died in the 9/11 because of the 9/11 situation. Excuse me. If a 14-year-old can think that clearly, can't we? You would think we should be able to. We do have a great privilege by living here in the United States. And we should honor that great privilege. We should get our lazy derrieres off the couch and go out and do something to make this nation a better nation. Not complain, not lie, not steal, not take advantage of other Americans, but help our fellow man and woman. And regardless of what they look like, who they love, where they come from, we should try to help our fellow man. And if you are, and I've said this a thousand times, if you are a Christian, why would you not want to help your fellow man? That's what Jesus talked about in the Good Samaritan. But we seem to forget that. We seem to find ways of rationalizing, justifying, and going against your own Bible. Now, I'm talking about the New Testament. I'm not a big Old Testament fan. Not that I dislike the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is more the history of where the Jews came from, which is where the Christians came from. And it tells a lot of things, and it is steeped in the lives of people that were 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years old. People that didn't know that the earth was round. I did. Oh, I've got to read this to you. I found out what the I gotta look it up if I can. I found out what the Flat Earth Society believes. Now I thought, well, that's crazy. There is no Flat Earth Society. No, there is, and this is what they believe. Flat Earth Society. We man the guns against oppression of thought, and the this is a hard word. globularists, which means the people that believe the world is round, and the globularists' lies of a new age. Standing with reason, we offer a home to those wayward thinkers that march bravely on with reason and truth in the recognizing the truth shape of the true shape of the earth. So there are people that, honest to goodness, believe that there are people telling them lies, that the earth is not round but is flat. They believe it is. That word, globularists, I love that word because it means that you believe the earth was round. Oh, well. See, one of the things about thinking, and one of the things about being true to yourself and being true to the people around you, is you have to find out what is true. So you have to do a lot of thinking and not listening. I mean, listening is good. I believe in listening. I'm a firm believer in listening. My father, as a minister, if he ever saw me not listening during church service, I would hear about it at the end of church service. So I was a good student as far as listening. I was not a good student as far as reading. I think that, let's see here. I'm trying to find another quote that I had, and I apparently have lost this. I was going to read you a quote by another conservative, but I apparently didn't bring it with me. Oh, well. Thought and honesty are not a conservative or a progressive. They aren't owned by those groups. You can be a conservative and be thoughtful and be caring and be truthful. You can be a progressive and be thoughtful and truthful. You can go either way. But you have to think. And if you don't think, if you don't really put thought into your process of what you believe, then you don't believe it. You're just spouting off words that you heard somebody else tell you that you liked. You know, you're doing the thing a lot of politicians do. You're just passing on talking points. Talking points don't get things done. Rolling up your sleeve and getting your butt off the couch and going out and doing things is how you get things done. We have a real lack of ability right now to roll up our sleeves and get our butt off the couch. I'm as big an offender of that as anybody else. I do like sitting and watching Rachel Maddow. Or I do like sitting and watching my garden shows in the morning. It's a lot easier than going out and doing the weeding that I should be doing in my garden. Not yet. My gardens haven't started. Well, I've got a couple little weeds that I could pull, but I do. My garlic is like 7, 8, 10 inches tall. I love it. But we've got to learn to be a little less lazy. I'm not so certain it'll change the world. I'm not so certain that what we do in the world will change the world as individuals. It may not change the world, but it can change people around us. It can change the way other people think. I don't think it's really good to try to convince somebody that they're wrong. I think it's better to convince them to think and think through their positions. I think it's better to say you have every right in the world to believe that if you have thought it through. And I don't mean listen to other people telling you how to think it through. I mean personally thinking it through. I sometimes catch myself in hypocrisy where I might say something that, I heard it on TV, so I'm going to say it. Well, yeah, I do that. I only do it if it's a person that I truly trust knows what they're talking about. But I'm sure that my friends on the other side of the aisle say the same thing. So I am being hypocritical when I don't actually go out and find out for myself what the honest to goodness truth is. But I've told you yesterday, I was talking about a TED talk that I listened to, and that gentleman said that we do believe the people that we trust, and it makes what they say truth because we can't go out and learn every fact about everything we're trying to judge. So we have to assume that our friends are telling us the truth. We have to assume that the situation is as we see it around us. I just love this TED talk. I wish I could explain it better. I cannot. But it was really made me think. I love getting all these messages while I'm talking with you. That one just told me you can sell my house really for a lot of money. Oh, well. I bet you're getting those, too. Marion does seem to be in a period where housing values are going up. My sister-in-law watches that very carefully, and she told me that housing values are going way up. But, unfortunately, housing values are going way up everywhere. So if I sell my house here in Marion and try to move to California or North Carolina, where my children are, I will lose my shirt. Anyway. Doesn't make me a bad American, though, just because I'm poor. I'm happy. I'm not happy being poor, but I'm a happy person. I know that what I tell people is what I honestly believe, and I do try to think through what I honestly believe. I spend a lot of hours at night when I should be asleep, thinking through these talks that I have with you every Wednesday and Thursday. And I agree that you should be able to tell me I'm full of poo-poo. Because sometimes I'm absolutely wrong. I'm sure of it. And I don't see it. So even though in most cases I've already looked through both sides of the equation, and I should know why other people think I'm wrong, but I don't. None of us do. We all think we're right. I wish my father were still around, because he was very good at discussing things like that. We discussed a lot of why this happened, and it was always about religion. And my father was a Methodist minister, and he had studied Greek, so he was able to read the original Bibles, or some of them, the ones that were written from the Hebrew, I guess. He was an intelligent gentleman. He went to Boston University. He went to Butler University. He went to Harvard University. So he was an intelligent guy. And I would love to have had him still around while I'm doing this show, because I am absolutely certain he would call me every day and tell me that I was making a mistake on this, or I was absolutely right on that. Because he was the type of father that would lead me. He was very quiet, didn't talk to me very much. He had an office, always had an office in the parsonage. We lived in the parsonage all the time. And the office was a place I didn't go in very often. As a matter of fact, nobody went in Dad's office very often. That's where he hid my cigarettes, because nobody would go in there and find them, right? My mom wouldn't find them. Yeah, I did smoke when I was 12 years old, I think is when I started it. Bad, bad thing to do. If you are still smoking, and I guess there are a lot of people here in Marion that still smoke, please, please throw them away if you can. If you can't, find somebody that can help you. Because it's something that'll kill you. Matter of fact, my doctor told me, I said, well, I quit smoking when I was 27. He said, you had 12 years or 15 years of smoking, and that will affect you as you get older. Oh, I thought because I had quit a long, long time ago, I thought I was healthy again. Anyway. Well, at least I've had my second shot, COVID shot, and it's been over 2 weeks. So at least I got that one taken care of. I hope I'm saying some things that'll help you think. And you're more than welcome to call here and tell me what you honestly think of me, if you'd like to. 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. Also, I hope that our signal is coming in better and better. We have put up a new blanket over the window that was right in front of me, which I hope has deadened the sound a little bit. We were struggling with kind of a garbled sound, and they are going to go up, by the way, on the antenna tower here, and I think Scott said on Saturday. I'm going to go up there and try to measure how it's working and find out if we need to do any corrective measures so that the signal will be better. It might be a little rough right now, and I'm awful sorry for those of you. It was rough for the people living south of Marion, and that almost is a sure sign that something's wrong with the antenna. So we're going to try and get that taken care of. But you know, if you can't hear us live over WWGH, you can go to our website and just type in WGH on your computer, and it'll take you to our website. Go to our website, scroll down a ways, and you'll find a thing that says Listen Live. If you click on that, you can hear us clear as bell. It is absolutely amazing how clear it is. And you can listen to us anywhere in the world. I had a gentleman listening to us from Barcelona, Spain the other day. I knew that to be a fact because the person I was talking to was one of his friends and let me know that his friend talked to him about what he had said on my radio program. So you can get the WWGH live on that Listen Live app anywhere from Prospect and Center Street all the way to Barcelona, Spain. I imagine you can get it in Beijing if they'll let you. I don't know if they'll let you. That's another thing about our being proud of being American. We don't have somebody yet like the leader of China or the leader of Russia who are going to be the leaders of those countries in forever, or at least until they pass away, and then they'll arrange it to give it to somebody they like, and it'll probably benefit them some way or other. But these tyrants like that, we have to avoid that. We got dangerously close recently of having a permanent president, which I think would be a horrible thing to do. One of the nice things about the foundation of the United States is that we have the right to throw people out, And we are making laws right now where you can, in some states, and I think Georgia is one of them, where you can vote and say that you don't like this or you don't like that, and you place your vote, and then the election officials will be able to say, well, that's not right, so we're going to change it. We've got to fight that. The vote has to be sacrosanct. It cannot be the type of thing where somebody can change our vote. I'm not a big fan of the Electoral College, but it's a lot better having Electoral College than having some elective officer be able to say, well, I don't like that, so we're going to change your vote. We need to fight that. And that's one of the voter suppression things that's going on in Georgia right now. I'm not a big fan of boycotting all these corporations, but I think it might be the only way to get these corporations to put financial pressure on the people that are trying to do that. Apparently all they pay any attention to, we are a capitalist society, the only thing they pay attention to is the bottom line, whether they can make money or not. And it's because that's what we've told them we want. It's not because they're evil people. We have told them as stockholders that we want to make money. And you understand that, right? We all understand that. As the Bible does say, and I quote the Bible occasionally, it's not money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. And right now, we are struggling with a lot of people that absolutely adore money. Money should be used to help people. Money should be used for good, not for evil. I know that's never going to be the way it always is because there are greedy people. Those people will die and they won't have any money wherever they're going. I wonder what they're going to do then when they can't. Well, my personal belief is they'll turn to stardust. So stardust is not a bad future. That means that someday in 50 billion years, maybe you'll be back as a human being again. I don't know. Anyway, we're getting close to the end of this session. We are going to go into Swap Shop at noon, and or at 12:15. So if you have things that you want to sell, you know, the weather's getting nice, so you might be having a yard sale or something like that. If you'd like to announce that on Swap Shop, feel free to give us a call at 740-383-9944, and we'll put it on the air where your yard sale is. Now remember, if you haven't had your second shot and you're not 2 weeks beyond your second shot, you should be more careful. Wear your mask. It doesn't hurt anything. I watched a young man and a young lady yesterday in the grocery store where I they didn't even have a mask around their wrist or in their pocket. They just thought the world was their oyster, and they didn't really give a rat's behind about me or the other people in the store. That just kind of shows where a lot of our people are in America right now. Just greedy, selfish, non-thinking, very little empathy. And I think we've got to fight that. If you can't fight that, it's not a matter of freedom. Come on now. Don't be stupid. It's not a matter of freedom that you don't have to wear a mask. What it is a matter that you don't want to hurt your fellow American, the person that lives across the street from you. You don't want to put, or you don't want to put yourself in a position where you will give your grandchildren some sort of illness. It's not freedom. freedom, if you have true freedom, we'd just be able to, I'd be able to walk out in the street and shoot somebody and kill them, not worry about it, unless they shot back. True freedom is not really truly free. It would turn us all into deer in the headlight. You know, that big look of, oh my gosh. And we'd all be running from everybody else. And we'd be armed to the teeth. I'd own a tank, or I'd own an airplane with an atom bomb or something. You know, we're not free. Please, don't use that as an excuse for not wearing a mask. Freedom. That's just ignorant. And please, be kind to your friends and neighbors around you. Wear the mask. It's simple. It doesn't hurt anything. We're not all, we're about 50% of the population now has at least one shot. But we need to get both shots, unless you have the J&J, I guess that's a one-shot deal. But you need to get both shots, and you need to be 2 weeks beyond that before they consider that you are really inoculated. So please do that. It's not going to hurt you. You look a lot better with your face covered anyway. At least I do. I don't know about this young couple that was in the grocery store. They could both have worn a mask and it wouldn't have offended me at all. And they were, you know, talking real loudly. They wanted people to look at them, I guess. We're going to break here in about a minute, and we'll come back. We'll do the swap shop. I have lots of interesting facts that I've looked up about what is good and what is bad about our system of sport here in the United States. Whether it's good to have your kids participate in sports. One day I'm going to do, is it a good idea to have your kids participate in music, which I absolutely think it is, but we'll go over the pluses and negatives of that as well. I have often thought that we need to strengthen those type of things in our schools as opposed to weaken them, which we have done for the last, 30 years, something like that. Well, we're going to take a break here in about 20 seconds, and we'll come back. We'll do Swap Shop. You've been listening to Glenn Coble. The show is called On the Air, and I will stop. I will get up off my soapbox, and you can relax. We'll do Swap Shop. Be right back.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary comedian Abe Vigoda.
You know, Abe, there's been this thing for years that people thought you were dead. Do you think that has worked against you in your career?
Whoa!